Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, open your word to our understanding. Open our hearts to receive it with joy. Open our hands to do as you have commanded us to do. For we pray this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This is a challenging passage to us, and I call it Cultivating God's Grace. With spring around the corner, coming this Thursday, actually, we are thinking about cultivating our gardens, sometimes flower gardens, sometimes vegetable gardens, but in all that we want to make things grow and make them beautiful and make them useful. In the same way, God wants us to cultivate His grace in our lives. Have you ever thought that if our only purpose of being saved was to go to heaven, that maybe God would have taken us to heaven immediately after we became a Christian? But in His providential care, He has left us here for a purpose. Do you realize that your life has a purpose this morning? Far greater than just being alive, far greater, as wonderful it is, as in going to heaven. God's purpose is to reflect His grace. Now, that grace doesn't come automatically. We do not become full, mature believers spontaneously. It takes us, as the Apostle Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us to will and to do His purposes in our lives. So God has left us here to do His purposes, to be a reflection of His grace. And we might put it, in other words, a reflection of His glory in the world. So you are an everyday missionary. In fact, I like to use the term missioner rather than missionary. When we think of the word missionary, we think of someone that's serving over yonder, some foreign land. But if we think we're on a mission, God has a mission for you this week. Even in the midst of an unusual setting, God has a mission for us. And part of that mission, if not the primary mission, is that you would let your light so shine before others so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. So God is sanctifying us. That's the theological word for God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. A scientific word is synergism, in which that we work alongside of God in allowing His grace to come through. I like to say that before I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit wants to get into our lives, to transform us, to renew us, to save us, to justify us, to regenerate us. And once it is within us, it wants to get out of our lives through our worldview. The Barna Corporation is an organization that surveys people a lot. And they survey a lot of Christians. And one of the astounding results in recent times is that the lifestyle of the Christian is not much different than the lifestyle of the non-Christian. In fact, it says that four-fifths of all the people believe that there's no such thing as an absolute truth. And 60% of all the people believe that everyone will eventually go to heaven. That somehow or another, purgatory, which is not in the scriptures, by the way, purifies us enough to go to heaven. Nearly 8 out of 10 Christian men view pornography. And 1 out of 3 Christian men have extramarital relationships. Little difference between the lifestyle of the Christian and the non-Christian. Shame on us as a church. We are called to covenant living, to be all that God wants us to be. And joyfully, abundantly, victoriously live that life in a way, not afraid of what is happening around us. Do you realize that the terms "do not fear" or "be not afraid" occurs 145 times in the scriptures? Psalm 56 says, "When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you." In Psalm 119 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid what men can do to me. And so, fear is there to remind us of the danger, to be aware of the dangers, but to be alert to it, but not to live in that fear, to trust God. And so, the Apostle Peter is writing to Christians that are facing some very difficult times when this epistle of the second Peter was written. They were going to be facing hardships far greater than anything that we can imagine. They were going to be facing death. They were going to be facing reality of a life without Christ. And I'm not saying that we are there yet, but the time may come in which that we are challenged in the same way. And so, sanctification is really cultivating God's grace in our lives. Salvation is in three tenses, as you read the scriptures, and it may confuse you sometimes. We have been saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is justification or regeneration in our lives. And then glorification happens when we go to heaven and we are removed from this sinful world and everything around us is glorifying God. And in between that is what we call sanctification. Sanctification, as described in our Shorter Catechism in question 35, says, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. So sanctification is God's Holy Spirit working within us. And these short verses, filled with great meaning, challenging as such, as we have read just a moment ago, remind us. So in verse 5 it says, for this very reason, Peter is building on what he has already said in verses 1 through 4, when he talks about we have obtained a faith of equal standing, in which Pastor John reminded us last week, that is ours by the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Peter wants his grace and peace to be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes on to say, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has implanted his DNA in us so that everything that we need in this life, he has granted unto us in great and precious promises. But he's called us to his own glory. That glorification will happen when we face Jesus through the valley of the shadow of death. But in the meantime, he's left us here to reflect God's own glory. And that through the great and precious promises of God, that you may become partakers of the divine nature. We do not become God, just as I do not become my Father. I have my Father's DNA within me. And my children have their DNA in them. But I do not become my Father, and my children do not become me. It is what I pass on to them and what my Father passed on to me. We may call that genetics in today's society. But God has given us, for this very reason, that he's called us to his glory. And his glory is to be magnified and glorified and enlarged in this life in which we live. You own a mission this week to glorify God. That's going to be a little bit different for each of us. But there are some things that are going to be constant for us. The next part of verse 5 says, make every effort to supplement your faith. Make every effort. See, the foundation is faith, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. I like to see faith is in two stages. First, faith is believing what God has said. And then faith is acting on what God has said. So faith is action. The book of James reminds us that faith without works is dead. The scriptures also remind us that the demons believe with trembling. That's a lot more than a lot of Christians do. We say we believe, but then we don't put that into practice. So God says, put that in practice. Make every effort to do so. The idea behind that is, do it with haste. Start working on it right now. And in terms of what God wants through your life into the world around you, many of you are going to be going into dark places this week, in which that you may be the only Christian there, and we can become a little bit self-conscious of that, and we can live in pity, we can live in fear, we can live in desperation that we are all alone. But God is with you, and He has given you everything you're going to need this week to fulfill His great purposes of His glory and His honor. And so He says, begin, make haste to add to that faith that you've got, to begin to put it into practice. And the first thing He says is to, with your faith, supplement it with virtue. By the way, that word supplement means to lavishly prepare, lavishly provide something. It's like taking vitamins that will enhance our immune system. It's, and I call this vitamins for the soul, in terms of being able to share God in a darkened world, in a world that is going to live in fear in these next few days, maybe weeks or even a month or so. Can you imagine how desperate people are going to become? You see on the television people fighting over rolls of toilet paper. How simple can life become in which that we fight over a thing that our forefathers did without? We're so accustomed to having our own comfort level that once that we begin to live outside of that comfort level, we become fearful, and fear motivates us to attack. And God says, I want you to work by faith this week, and to think, add virtue. And virtue is a moral excellency. There's not a greater example of that in the scriptures than in the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. As you know, Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and yet he did not allow that bitterness to permeate who he was. Later on, it says, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. And he was concerned about his family. His brothers, yes, and his father, yes. But he was concerned more about pleasing God. And then he served God in many different ways. One of the ways in which he became a slave in Potiphar's household. Potiphar was perhaps the second most powerful man in Egypt at that particular time. And Potiphar's wife tried to entice him day after day, says the book of Genesis, tried to entice him into alluring intimate relationships, and he refused. And one day, she became so persuasive that he ran out of the house, and in doing so, he left his cloak, his garment there, and she accused him, and he was thrown into prison. And yet that didn't faze him at all. He served God faithfully, even in prison, unjustly so. And so you may be treated unfairly in life. I can remember talking with a young man that thought that he was not promoted because of his Christian faith in his business. And on his last day at work there, he was going to another company, actually working down in Virginia. And he went in and he lambasted his boss for not promoting him and really laid him out. And then he went to work for this other company. And a couple of years later, this larger company purchased this smaller company, and this young man was now again under the managerial system of the boss that he had berated. So how he regretted that. Virtue is permeating our character, and moral excellency, excellent in how we treat others, excellent in how we treat our spouse, how we treat our children. One of the sad things when I was working with a group of teenagers and I'd spoken to the teenager about something that was occurring, and he says, "You don't know my father. He is not the same at home as he is in church." And he said that in a negative sense. And I said, shame on us that we have not allowed God's grace to permeate who we are in front of a camera as well as away from the camera, in front of the church as well as behind the scenes in the church. And to add to your virtue, add knowledge. You know, the study of the Bible never should grow old to us. We should be involved in Bible study, in our own personal study, as well as in corporate study. Sunday school, we used to call it. They call it a lot of different things nowadays. But that was a time that we studied the Bible together. And so we learn what God wants from us. Newsday reporter had an article some time ago in which they said, "The searching for the invisible bestseller, the Bible in America," that almost every home has a Bible, but we don't believe it. We don't live it out in our lives. Have you ever wondered why everyone doesn't receive the good news of Jesus saving us to go to heaven with great joy? It's because that not only assures us of glory, but it entails within our own lives that we are supposed to reflect God's glory. And that takes some effort. We need to cultivate God's free grace. What he has done in our lives has been marvelous. And it is a free gift to us, not of ourselves, lest we should boast in how good we are and how wonderful we are. But it is God's gift to us. And now I want that to permeate my worldview. So few Christians, in fact, Barner says only 1 out of 5 Christians have a worldview in which they see the world as God sees it in every area of their life. And we say no. Self-control is saying no to our own urges, our own desires, and saying no to those things that interfere with God's glory. It can be some good things in our lives. We may like to read, and if we read things, we used to call them paperback novels, romantic novels, and there's nothing really wrong with those as such. But if they interfere with us in reading what God says in this world, then it becomes wrong, as well as anything else, that our love for beauty, our love for art, our love for music, our love for sports even, can interfere with what God desires in our lives. And self-control says no to those things which are going to interfere with my growing in Christ. And then perseverance is being steadfast. When evil happens, and yes, evil happens to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Steadfast is remaining true to God, that God is sovereign. And if God leads me in the valley of shadows of death, he will lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. And I will fear no evil, for God is ever with me. We still to be alert and to be aware, but not to be anxious in any of these things. Be anxious in nothing, says the scriptures. Don't let anything overwhelm us in our steadfastness into believing that God is sovereign. That's what covenant living is all about, is being able to live within the covenant of God's grace and God's mercy in our lives. And then you add the perseverance, godliness. That is simply seeing God in everything that we do. Cooking, we see that is work, but do we see it as feeding our family? And God has provided for us. My wife used to write out verses on 3x5 cards, and she would put it on the sink. And she had read where one of the former saints of glory had written, as he wrote on the 3x5 card, he said, "Divine service is performed here 3 times a day. Reminding us that everything that we do is in ministry to God. We are on a mission for God. And godliness is seeing that mission. Whether I can say a kind word to someone, whether I can be patient. Paul's in Galatians writes about the fruit of the Spirit. And this is Peter's fruit of the Spirit, by the way. And 4 of the same things that Paul mentioned in Galatians 5 are mentioned here. And godliness is one. It's just simply recognizing God in our daily living. At every point, how can this glorify God? Some time ago, there was a fad as such with the word WWJD. What would Jesus do? They wore little beads, bracelets, and they were written on pieces of paper, and they were, what would Jesus do? How would he glorify God in the midst of this? When he was called upon to judge someone, let him who has no sin cast the first stone. You know, we all need to be reminded that we need to reflect who God is, his mercy and his grace, and not to be taken advantage of, but to be able to reflect, what is God doing in the midst of my life, at work, at home, at my leisure time? What is God doing in the midst of that? And then it says, add to godliness, add brotherly kindness. That's how we treat each other. You know, how Democrats treat Republicans and how Republicans treat Democrats. You know, in this political atmosphere, there's a lot of contention and a lot of tension between the various political parties. And sometimes we look down on the other party as such. But how do we treat them? Do we treat them as God would treat them? Made in the image of God. Marred, yes. Sinful, yes. But so are we. And so, but I have to work at brotherly kindness, treating each other with God's grace and love. And then add to brotherly kindness, love. The old English, the King James Version of the Bible, used the word charity. Charity was something that you give to others. Love is something that you... Love is not an emotion. Love is a commitment. That's the reason that husbands and wives sometimes end up getting divorced, because they consider it an emotion instead of a commitment, that by God's help, with God's help and by God's grace, we shall overcome this, no matter where it is. And love is rooted in who God is, not in who the other person is. And in the midst of that, we find that love covers a multitude of sin. Love doesn't forgive that sin, but it doesn't cause us to react differently because we are unloved in the midst of that. Yeah. And we're going to have a great opportunity this week to go out and show God's love on a mission. Do you know, there was a recent survey of post-Christian areas of the United States, and the Boston to Manchester area was the 5th in the nation. In fact, 8 of the 10 top post-Christian areas were in the Northeast, and Boston to Manchester was 5th in nation. And so we have a great opportunity don't look down upon it as something to be mournful about. But what a wonderful opportunity we go out into the world to be on a mission for what God is doing in the midst of all of these things. And then, so if these qualities are yours and increasing, it doesn't mean that we don't have them, but it means that they need to be expanding in our lives. Increasing is the word for abounding. In fact, some of the translations have the word abounding is teeming over, ready to give something when nothing has been given to us. I like to work with teenagers, and I tell them, if you squeeze an orange, what do you get? And of course, the answer is orange juice. If you squeeze a lemon, what do you get? Lemon juice. If you squeeze a Christian, what do you get? Do we get grace flowing out of us? The same grace that flowed into us by the God's Holy Spirit. You see, you're going to be pressed and crushed, misunderstood, misaligned in life. And what's going to come out? And sometimes anger comes out, bitterness. But Joseph chose to reflect God's grace. He was not bitter towards his brothers. He was not angry, although I'm sure he was hurt. And I will say he wasn't angry, because we all have moments. But I don't act out of that anger. Be angry and sin not, says the scriptures. You know, it's all right to be angry at sin, but I don't act because of that anger. I act because of God's grace in my lives. And so you will not be unfruitful or ineffective or barren. God is planting a seed through your life. You may not see the fullness of many people coming to know the Lord in the midst of that. But God says that not even a cup of cold water given in His name through our Lord Jesus will go unnoticed by Him. God is planting seeds. You are on a mission this week, and God's covenant grace will provide the fulfillment of that in your life. And I was reminded of an old hymn. You may know it or you may not. And it was called "More About Jesus Would I Know." The author is Elisha Hewitt. She was a teacher in Philadelphia a century ago. And through an accident, one of her students hit her and called her a spine injury. And she was an invalid for many years. And she still wanted to serve God, even as an invalid. And she eventually was able to return to a normal life. But for many years she was, and so she decided she would start writing some hymns. And she wrote a hymn called "There's Sunshine in My Heart Today." Oh, can you hear an invalid singing that? And she said, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that would be. But she also wrote, "More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me." So we cultivate what God has already given to us, free grace. And we cultivate that grace to where it shines in every area of life. And may, as you go on your mission this week, see God's grace first in your own life for this very reason, for what God has done in your life, that you'll make every effort, and it takes hard work to supplement your faith, that you will not be barren and ineffective in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit of grace would rest upon us in might form this day, that as we go forth on our mission this week, that we would be fulfilled in your purposes for our lives, that the world would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And we commit our lives unto your watch care as we pray in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.